All right. Hey, everybody. It's 11 o'clock on Friday, December 4th. That's 11 o'clock Central Time, and I'm starting the recording now because I tend to forget to do that. It's straight up 11 o'clock, and this is the all-ages group of the PSS, and today we're going to be talking about systems and structures, and this is Jeremy Didier, and right now it's just me, so I'm going to hang out for a bit and see if somebody joins me. Hey, it's Jeremy.
Hi, Jeremy. It's Kathleen Peck.
Hey, Kathleen. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
Doing fine, thanks. How was your week?
Am I late?
No,
has everyone else gone?
Good here.
Okay.
I think everybody else is running a little bit late.
Okay. Yeah. It was good. I tried to work on setting expectations and having a little bit of patience and trying to understand where my daughter was coming from when things were happening, when she was getting all worked up. Sometimes it worked better than others, but coming from setting expectations, sort of letting her know what I was looking for, what she was looking for, having her expectations of me, that helped.
Uh-huh. Oh, good, good. Were there any aha moments during the course of the past couple of weeks that you wanted to share, or?
I don't know. I'm still sort of taking in the manual a little bit and trying to piece together what I'm supposed to be doing in between
okay.
calls and on the calls. So I'm trying
gotcha.
To figure that out a little bit.
Okay. Well, there's no right or wrong. I was just curious if anything popped up and you're like, oh, that's interesting. Not a big deal. But you found the manual and you're good with all the communications so far anyway?
Yes. I'm working through them. Sometimes I read the manual, and I guess it's in anticipation of the call. You know, more
uh-huh.
information will come across, so I haven't been able to
exactly.
fill out those questions. Yeah.
Oh no, that's okay. Yeah, we can, like I said, we can do them during the call. You can do them after the call. You can do them in between and before the next call. You know, whatever works for you is easy.
Okay.
Perfect. All right, we have someone else who's just joined us.
Hi, it's Miriam in Boston.
Hey, how are you?
Hello.
Can you hear me okay?
Hello? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can. My phone had an attitude there.
I apologize to your phone for whatever I did to it. Yeah.
No, I'm sure it was me. Is it always the same number?
It usually is.
Okay.
It usually is. Every now and then we get a random number that pops out, but for the most part it's typically the same number. Was
okay,
it a different
great.
One for you this week?
No. I just didn't. I was afraid I was calling the lifeline number because that was the only number I could find. And I didn't want to interrupt that.
No, you're good. Yeah, we use the same numbers for the Lifeline calls too. So it's always the same number then.
Okay.
Perfect. Yeah. All right. Well, so far it's just the three of us. So just kind of going around and checking in. It's been kind of an interesting week. I think the week after Thanksgiving, everyone's kind of either digging out or taking a break or taking their vacation from their vacation. So it might just be the three of us for a while. I'm going to go ahead and just jump on in if that's okay with you guys.
Sure.
All right. Miriam, do you want to share how things went over the past couple weeks with respect to shifting expectations, and if you had any aha moments, or if there was anything that came up that you're still kind of struggling with or that's bugging you? You can share that.
I mean, honestly, I'm more confused than ever.
Okay. Tell me about that.
I guess, you know, I need the bottom line specific, you know, more specific than not on what to expect here or there. It is
okay.
Helpful. So my husband's brain works my children's brain, and he can say, you know, are you crazy that they're going to remember to close the garage? But anyway. And then there's just the whole, you know, I've always given up, not always, for a long time. I've not fought the battles of all the little things, you know, close the refrigerator, put things away. But it's hard to chew. I mean, I guess I need realistic expectations for now and the future. Just a small little thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to help that.
Yes, it'll help for sure. But tell me specifically what's confusing. Is it the lack of... you tell me. Are you confused about what to say or what situations to be focusing on?
I don't want to...
Sure, I'm understanding.
Oh, I don't want to expect too much of my kids. I want, you know, whatever we're going to work on to be a reasonable expectation that they can accomplish.
Yeah. Okay.
Not too low, not too high, not too much.
Right. Mm-hmm. And are you finding that that's been challenging in terms of expecting too much?
I don't know, honestly. I mean,
okay.
I feel like sometimes I feel like I'm told I'm not expecting enough, sometimes the opposite.
Okay.
And all kind, you know, it's not just schoolwork or figuring out where the hamper is or, you know, not closing the garage door. It's, you know, it is the realm from minuscule brush your friggin' teeth to, you know, massive, you have a paper due next week.
And so that's
should add,
one of the reasons why.
I mean, my kids are 8 to 15, so it's also, you know,
you have
very
a range.
Different. Yeah, and
sure.
You know, different needs for each of them.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and different levels of expectation as well. And I think that's why, you know, we really try to focus and get real specific on what we're taking aim on, because I can hear it in your voice. I mean, when you start to think about all the things that you need to try to find the appropriate level of expectation for, and should I help, you know, hold them accountable for this, and should we follow through on this, it's exhausting and it's overwhelming. And so that's why one of the reasons that we start on, or that is primarily the main reason, actually, that we start small or, you know, start on a very specific area, a very specific part of that area, so that you don't just feel like, oh, my gosh, how am I going to do all of this?
But no. Oh, 100% correct. I mean, I think the snag is, and I'm sorry, I don't even know the other woman's name, so I don't want to take over.
We've got a couple other people who've joined in. It's okay. We'll go back.
Sorry, hi. I mean, I'm parenting the younger kids very differently than the older kids. Jeff, in, you know, kind of knowing that it's not going to happen, that they're closing the door behind them, and, you know, really working on that for a while, whether it does or not.
Yep.
But I've already lost that, mostly with my two older kids, and it's not where I would want to take my energy or theirs to take in, because they're bigger fish to fry, have bigger consequences.
Perfect.
That
yeah.
said, developmentally, mm-hmm. you know, certainly should be able to brush their teeth, you know, mm-hmm. or flush the toilet, or, you know, leave their trumpet somewhere other than the middle of the stairs.
Mm. So I'm hearing lots of things in there that are going to come up in our conversation when we move on to system instruction. So can I ask you to pause that right there? Because I do want to circle back to that.
No, of course.
There's a lot in there that I think we all, as parents of ADHD kids and just of kids in general, I think whether we know it or not or whether we like it or not, we do, for some reason, default to, I shouldn't have to help them with that. They're old enough to know how to do that. They should be able to do that. And with our kids who have complex issues, it's frustrating as heck, and it takes forever, and sometimes a heck of a lot longer than we want it to take, but we have to put that 3 to 5 year challenge in, and it's hard to remember to do that. So let's hold on to that for just a second. Let me get everybody else checked in, and then we'll come back around. Is that okay?
Of course. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. No problem. Okay, who else has joined us? It looks like Paula. Is that you?
Yes. I'm not. Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I didn't know if I was supposed to click on something so that I'm not being heard.
No, you mute yourself. So everybody's you know, able to talk and have a conversation if they want to, but if you want to be on mute, you go ahead and just mute yourself on your own phone or *6. And then you have to unmute yourself to talk. Yeah, I like it that way. Otherwise, I feel like it's, you know, if you ever really want to talk and you can't get yourself unmuted, then it kind of defeats the purpose of a group.
Yeah,
so, Paula,
yeah,
this is your first time on this call. Why don't you just real quick tell us where you are and the ages of your child?
My child with ADHD is 14, girl.
Okay.
And what else did you want to know? I live in Kansas City
area. Yep. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cool. Welcome. I know this is your first call, so just real quick, how this works is everybody checks in, so we go around and we just check in briefly about what we've been working on over the past 2 weeks, and people can share, you know, what worked great or what was a real challenge, or if there's a success that people want to talk about, they do that. And then we either go back around and figure out what we're going to take aim on for the next couple of weeks, or we dive right into the teaching. And we're on page 22 of the workbook this week, Systems and Structures. And then after that, we kind of circle back around and everybody checks out, and we talk about what we're taking aim on and how we can set ourselves up for success. And we go through some 4 questions at the end of each chapter. Cool?
Sounds great.
Hang on 1 second. Groovy. Cool. Glad you're here. All right.
Me too.
Janet, are you here?
Yes, we're here. Kirk and I are here.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
We're hanging in there. It's been quite a week.
Oh, I can't wait to hear. What would you like to share?
Kirk said what works is having my son's wisdom teeth pulled.
That's awesome.
Very competitive. He's so well behaved.
That shut him up.
No, he actually handled it really, really well. We're so proud of him. He really, really did. And, so that was good. And
he was able to really stay on top of his medication schedule. And, he's done a lot of self-care, and it's good.
Yeah, he's been organized and
with everything but his homework.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Hey, that's okay. Hey, we have to start, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's
so
awesome.
Celebrating that. So we're just, it's been a lot of sleepless nights, so, because he's still dealing with pain. So. But we're doing good.
Good. Well, what do you think has made the difference?
Pain.
I think overall we're more aware. I think we discussed last week having reinstating our weekly meetings with each kid, so just sitting down with each of them individually. And we're working on not making it feel like an inquisition.
A curse, but more of a blessing.
More of just a casual check-in.
What? You get 15 minutes with mom and dad.
Go!
What's going on?
So, I get it. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so the hard part for us is being consistent, so I think the topic today will help us, but just being really consistent with keeping those meetings going, because just a little time one-on-one with each one, we're hoping will help us stay attuned to what they need and what's happening.
So tell me a little bit more about the one-on-one meetings. Do you have like an agenda, or you just sit down and kind of talk about whatever they want to talk about?
Yeah, we used to, when we did it last year, we had an agenda and made it kind of formal, and that, I think, was intimidating for them. So this year we decided just to keep it really casual, you know, change the location from the table to the living room and not have an agenda, just listen to them. And of course, if there's something that we were concerned about, just bring it up, but, you know, or something, and really highlighting what was positive, too, you know, and really trying to use that feel of positivity and give that, too. So, so it's a little more casual, but the structure itself of having it, I think, is helpful.
Awesome. That's great. I'm hearing a little bit of background noise from somebody. I can't tell who it is, but if you would just mute yourself if you're, like, getting in the car or fixing lunch or whatever, that would be great. And you can just always unmute yourself when you're ready to check in. Let's see. Who else has joined us?
Hi, Jeremy. This is Tammy.
Hey, Tammy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What would you like to share with us? Celebration? Something that is bugging you?
No. I'll share a celebration, actually. I've been trying to get my kids to school. Well, actually, this one of the celebrations is that the 12-year-old got to school every day this week. So,
woohoo!
And one day, I know, right? And one day was on time, which is fine. But, you know, the other days, not so much, but that's okay. He still got there, made a good choice and all that.
Yeah.
But I got him up, and I was going along really well just the other day with him, and I was waiting downstairs. He had to go get something to bring to school, which was upstairs. So I was like, okay, you know, I'm waiting on you. And I'm waiting. And he finally comes down, and I said, where were you? You know, because just really kind, you know, like, where were you at? And he goes, Mom, he goes, two of your light bulbs were out. I changed them for you. I just thought that was really sweet of him, you know, because I'm wicked short, and he can climb anywhere, you know, and I just thought that was really kind of him. So.
Oh, my gosh, I love that. Yeah, that's one of the beauties of ADHD, right?
Yeah, right. Well, yeah.
Ways that are unexpected.
That's why I love the toothbrush article, because, like, all my toothbrush stuff is downstairs on the sink, too, because I'm like, oh,
yay.
Lord in heaven, the last thing I want to do is send the kid back upstairs. But, yeah, anyway,
totally.
I just thought that was wicked cute.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's
I love it. Oh, thanks for sharing that. That's great.
You're welcome.
And I'm glad to know other people have their toothbrushes in the kitchen. My mother-in-law.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely
definitely.
Horrible, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Too funny.
I know, right?
All right. All right. Someone else tried to check in at the same time as you, Tammy, I think. Who else is here that we missed?
Kathy Filler.
Oh, hey, Kathy. What's happening?
Hey.
Hey.
What is happening? So my daughter started to come out of her room more, and I don't like it.
Yay! You don't like it?
I all this effort to make her come out of her room, and now I'm like, go back. She wants everyone else to leave, so that doesn't help. But also, she's starting to engage. I think I talked about how she engages with her sister before, and it's just sort of mean. Now they're engaging to be really silly and rather, like, how do I describe it? Like, incestuous? Like, like, and it's just annoying. You know, everyone's screaming and making sex noises, and I'm like, please, just, you know. So I know. It's like they don't know how to do it well, and it's just when I'm tired, I don't want to teach them, and they don't want to know either. They're just being like goofing around all over, chasing each other, or pinching each other, or constantly rubbing, and this and that, and you're just like, just leave each other alone. So now that she's come out of her room, which is lovely, I don't know what to do with her. And I don't know why she came out, but I want to stuff her back in sometime. So that's what's happening with us, with Kate, with Luke. I think it's going well. I can see that he still wants to smoke marijuana, and he bet he does. And we had a big talk about it, and which was really good and mostly persevering on his part.
Good.
And yet, I don't know how to help him not want it, because if the, I guess medication doesn't do the same thing for him that marijuana does. And he doesn't want to, you know, experiment with, you know, additional medication, which he's been prescribed before, to try to, you know, take the edge off of the intense focus, or, so I don't know how to mediate that. So he's trying to engage with the family more, and I don't feel like I'm interesting enough. So he can, like, join in to, you know, making dinner is not that exciting. But at the same time, I don't know how to help him find something to else to be interested in or to engage in.
Okay.
When he's not working, which he has begun working. So when he's working, it's really lovely. And he's tired and he's, you know, he's happy. But when he's not, he's sort of bored because he doesn't have that much homework. And he's finally finished all his college applications, and the SAT stuff is done. So it's like once those goals are met, then we've been ad nauseum about it for so long. Like, what now? So that's where we're at.
Okay.
Sort of like.
All right.
Yeah.
So careful what you wish for. In terms of your daughter.
In some
right?
ways, yes.
But it's interesting.
Yeah, like
that
I really wanted him to finish his applications, and now that he has, we're all like, well, what do we talk about? So, it's all this, like, striving toward this goal that now we're like, what's the point? So what was next?
So who told me that you had to be
thrilled?
Yeah.
Right?
I'm just curious.
Well, I think
who
I realized
you had
that
to be good.
Okay. I just, when he got on medication, when I got on medication, I just realized how much of my life I spent trying to be entertaining, because I realized I needed it and he needed it. And so I was essentially like a wraparound person. So when I'm not entertaining, I don't know how to help him engage, because things that are entertaining to me are not entertaining to him.
But who's telling you that you're not entertaining? Or that he's not engaged?
Any teenager will tell you that I'm not entertaining. that he's not engaged. I think, you know, he's bored. He's like, he just came down and he's like, hey, I just have nothing to do. What are you doing? And I'm like, I'm leaving. Sorry. So, so when he's working, it's fine. I just don't know what to do for him or with him or to him when he's not. That's going to help him stay busy or engaged away from feeling like marijuana is the only thing that's going to help him manage life.
Yeah. No, I see where you're going with that. Okay. All right. Maybe we can come up with some systems or structures or some ways to create those that will help with that. Anybody else need to check in? Oh, good. Was that it, or was there something else you wanted to share?
I was going to say I missed the beginning part where you told us what the focus of the thing was. Sorry.
Oh, it's all right. Systems and structures. So we'll get there in just a second. I heard one more voice.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi, this is Lisa from California.
Hey, Lisa from California. How are you?
Good. So I have an 11-year-old boy, and things are going pretty well. And I think, just constantly, just working on, like, shifting the expectations, in the morning, I get everything ready, and then I'm like, okay, I'm going to go take a shower now, and then he's sitting down having breakfast with his grandpa when I'm doing that, and then I'm like, after you have your breakfast, you need to pack your backpack and wash up, and, then I come back downstairs, and he's eating his breakfast, but he's just kind of, like, rolling around on the floor. Or now he just got a new scooter, so right now, like, he's just, he's riding the scooter in the house. And so just like, not trying not to get upset about it, and just realizing that, he is younger than he is, we're still getting everything done, I'm getting a little stressed out because, the time is ticking and we got to be to school on time and everything, but But just kind of shifting the expectations that, like, you know, he can't always, you know, his medicine hasn't kicked in. He can't always just go from A to B. So it's been good overall. So
good overall. Okay. Good. Okay. Good. There's a lot there too that I think is going to just dovetail nicely into systems and structures. And I think that since we've got so many people on the call and we're already at almost 11:30 Central Time, what I'll do is go ahead and start talking about the topic. And then as I'm talking, if you guys all want to think about what you want to take aim on, and then as we kind of discuss systems and structures and check out, hopefully whatever is going to be the most important thing for you to take aim on will kind of rise to the top. And if you need help getting clarification on it, we can talk that through too. Does that sound good with everybody?
Yeah.
Groovy. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So page 22 in the workbook, systems and structures, it is the fourth critical response area. And I love that it comes fourth because I think as parents, we always want to go to that one first. You know, we've got a problem. We got to fix it. We got to put a system in place or a structure in place to make sure that we can, you know, get this fixed. But as we've discussed over the past several weeks, you know, unless we have done a good job of really educating ourselves and being curious about exactly what's going on and taking aim on something very specific and then working through all the possible things that could be going on in terms of activating the brain and shifting expectations and parenting positively, no structure or system we put in place is going to be effective unless we've answered all those questions first. And the thing about systems and structures, I mean, there's tons of them, right? You can go on the internet, you can go on our website, any place, and find millions of systems and structures. And the best one is the one that works for you or for your family. And systems and structures are great for everybody. They're great for particularly parents of ADHD kids and parents who have ADHD themselves. We all have them without even knowing that we've put them in place. And they're great because they help us with our executive functioning skills. And specifically for folks with ADHD, it helps with activation, which is knowing what to do and then doing it, and then working memory. You know, our kids have very little working memory. You know, when you're talking about your son going upstairs to get a couple things and changing your light bulb instead, that's a perfect example. we send them upstairs to get something, and they come down with one of the three things or with something totally different, right, because they just don't have enough working memory. Even now, you know, as my 17-year-old's walking out the door, and he doesn't have ADHD, but he's like, cell phone keys, and making sure he has everything before he gets to the car, and we just develop these systems that seem to work. Whether we recognize it or not. It's really important, though, when we're setting up systems and structures to make sure that we increase our probability for success. And this is straight out of the workbook, but I'll paraphrase it. So, you know, I think the number one thing is to get buy-in. Like we said, you know, whatever system or structure works for you and your family is going to be the right one. But unless you know what your kid likes or what they will respond to and they're okay with the system, it's not going to work at all. And then make it easy. The first behavior chart that we made for my now 11-year-old, was this very beautiful Excel spreadsheet that my husband put together. And he's an attorney and also a helicopter pilot. And you literally needed a degree in engineering to figure out exactly how this chart was supposed to work. And by the end of the first day, none of us could remember if he'd earned the reward or not because, you know, we'd added some points and subtracted some points, and there were so many parameters. It was ridiculous. You know, make your system easy because consistency is going to be the key, right, to success. You have to be able to do it every day. And if you don't, it's going to fail. And so if you make it really hard, you're not going to be able to do it every day. And then be flexible, right? Because unless it's not going to work the first time or only partially going to work the first time. So we need to make sure that we've developed a system or a structure that's easy to tweak. Ah, someone's here. And then focus on the process. So whenever you put the system or structure in place, let's say it's, you know, your child's supposed to do homework for, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour each night, and they only get 30 minutes done or 15 minutes done, make sure you reward the 15 or the 30 minutes, right? We're going to focus on the successes and on the process. So maybe we didn't meet the achieved or the desired goal, but we're still making progress in the right direction. And keep that, you know, 3 to 5 year developmental delay in mind, because that's going to come into play when we're putting these things together as well. So if you're wondering about the areas of executive function, they're on page 23. I always love reminding myself of these because when I look at all of them, I'm like, oh, yeah, focus, effort, all of these things we have to have systems and structures for, whether we recognize it or not. But the most important two, like I said, are activation and working memory. So what's coming up for you guys as we're talking about this? Things that have worked, haven't worked?
Can I ask a question?
Uh-huh.
Sorry, I don't know. I'm trying to keep this muted and not hear you hear me. So as we put in, you know, lovely little systems and rewards and have to write down, you know, you got points for this and all that, just wondering practically how people have pulled that off because, you know, especially there's two parents, you know, they don't,
right.
And, you know, our work schedules switch. They don't know what happened. Where do you keep it? You know, who doesn't add their own points on, you know, not with you when you're walking to school? Like, in a practical sense, even when we do it on our computer, you know, on our phones,
uh-huh.
You know, it's, I don't have my phone on me all the time, you know, at
yep.
home, et cetera. So I'm just wondering if people have met, you know, because I can't remember the day everything has happened.
You know, sometimes it's a matter of keeping it, you know, it's even simpler than that, you know. So this is more for younger kids, but I think it works for older kids too. And anyone can chime in here, but whatever you're going to do, make the time that you're going to measure whatever behavior or activity or whatever the desired thing is, make it short enough that you can be there the entire time. You know, that whoever is doing the monitoring can be there the entire time. So even if it's just 30 minutes or 45 minutes each day, make it something that's easy for you. You know, and it doesn't have to be on your phone or, you know, something physical that you carry around. It can be whatever is going to work for you. Diane did a really great webinar, and it's on the in the forum, I think, or in the library, sorry, on our website, about creating different reward charts and behaviors. But, I mean, I don't think you have to do a chart or, give points or subtract points. You can. There's so many different things that you can put in place. And I'd say just do some research, or if anyone on the call has a suggestion, chime in.
Hi, this is Lisa. My son was supposed to go to the tutor for math at 6:30 p.m., and that's like a really hard time for him because his medication is wearing off, but that's the only time that we could get. And after I worked during the day, so after school he was supposed to go to homework club and get his homework done, and then they have a quiz that he got a day early so he could go over it with the tutor, and then he's going to take it tomorrow. It's not a graded quiz or anything. And so anyway, when he got in the car, I'm like, did you get your homework done? And he said no. And in homework club, he just read the whole time. And so I was really mad because I said, you know, I told you I want you to get your homework done in homework club. It's going to be hard enough to do the tutor. And he started crying. And, you know, so I just kind of backed off. And, you know, he just says, I can get it all done in with the tutor tonight, the math homework and the math quiz. I'm like, okay. So you know, so he's starting to, you know, figure out what he can do. And he went to the math tutor. And, of course, when he got there, he was tired. And so we did a little activation. I was like, how about if you do 5 jumping jacks before you get started? So the tutor was like, yeah, let's do jumping jacks. So they did jumping jacks, and I left. And I came back, and he's just like, I got everything done. And the tutor said, you know,
wow.
It's interesting to see him, you know, because his medication was wearing off, and to see him, like, he would focus for 10 minutes, and then he would kind of, you know, go off into outer space or whatever. But, like, he persevered, and he got it all done. And so, you know, then it was just like, you know, so the reward was he likes to get a hot chocolate. So, you know, we went to get a hot chocolate. But also, you know, just for me to, like, apologize to him, you know, because I'm used to, like, controlling everything so much, and he's starting to have his own ideas about how he can get things done.
Sorry.
And also just to tell him, you know, that I'm proud of him, and isn't he proud of himself? And so a lot of times that is almost enough of a reward just to talk about, you know, what a great job he's doing, and, you know, for him to actually say that he's proud too. So
that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, I love it. There's so many good things in there, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because we've talked about the ADHD brain having a lack of a just get it done button. And so, our brains need something to get them motivated, and especially if it's a task that we have absolutely no interest in. And one of the things that people with ADHD use as a motivation technique sometimes is, like, procrastination or that sense of urgency, you know, and that I got to beat the buzzer, I got to beat the timeline kind of thing. And it sounds like that's kind of what he used to turn himself on to get his math homework done, which is great. And then, you know, something that's new and exciting works, you know, competition works, you know, things that are humorous and fun and something that's interesting. Those are all good ways to help the ADHD brain engage. That's great. Mm-hmm.
This is Janet. Can I ask a quick question?
Of course.
So it drives me crazy when my son uses procrastination as a motivator.
Yeah, it's hard to watch. Yeah.
So you're saying that that's actually a good skill for him to recognize that he's doing that.
You know, so here's the thing with procrastination. It is a technique that works for some people for some reason. If it's working without any other side effects or detriments, then you have to decide, you know, if it's working for him or not, or for you as a family or not. You know, I had a caller on the call on Wednesday, and, you know, their kids stayed up all night to get things done at the last minute, and, you know, she got them done, but, you know, she was a mess the next day. So in that particular sense, I would say that that's not necessarily working. I mean, it worked in terms of her getting it done, but it definitely doesn't work in terms of a system or structure that's going to be successful over time. But if it's something that you can create some urgency, you know, during a regular time of the day, or, you know, something that's not going to impact them physically or emotionally or mentally later on, it's still effective. But I don't know that it's something that you want to use all the time.
We had, leading up to him getting his wisdom teeth out, we said, okay, this is what needs to be done because you're going to miss school. And, you know, and so we made a list and all this stuff, and he waited till the last minute, which meant that it impacted our family, but mostly we had to say no to something he wanted to do socially because he still had to do the night before. And so, you know, it was kind of good to use that as a reminder that, you know, but I think, you know, it takes a while. So that's interesting to think about. It helped me to shift seeing it more as a positive and how it can be used as a positive. So that's good. I had a quick question about rewards. So we've used rewards in the past, and they haven't worked because the reward, either the goal was too big or the reward, it was about the reward, not the actual action. So how do you use rewards in a way that it doesn't become about the reward and you miss the whole point of it?
Well, okay, so good point. When you say you don't want it to be about the reward, you want it to be about the action. Tell me what you mean by that.
I guess I want them to learn from it, not it to be this kind of short-term, I want it to be a life skill, you know, and I want them to learn about the life skill behind it rather than just the short-term success that they're getting.
Okay. And so how does giving a reward prevent it from being a long-term life skill?
So I think that they don't necessarily learn about what they did to get that reward and how they can then use that when they're older. I mean, if they've used rewards for themselves, that's great. But I feel like they focus so much on the reward that they forget what they learned to get there.
So you're concerned that if you take away the reward, that they won't do whatever the skill is.
Right. And if we give the reward, then they just are, I got the reward, or I didn't. And we missed the whole lesson in it.
Can I add on that... the other thing that has come back to haunt us is they won't do everything needs to be a deal. Their words, won't do anything unless there's a reward.
Right.
You know, and it just, and I feel like there can be a lot of manipulation there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like they're capable of it. They should be doing it.
So a couple things with that. And when we're talking about buy-in and when we're creating the system and the structure and the reward, you know, specifically having a conversation about what the reward is going to be and why and what it looks like, that's something that needs to be equitable on both sides. So, it's got to be something that you're okay with giving as a reward and giving as a reward for, you know, potentially an unspecified length of time. But when you're setting it up, they know that the goal is for them to be able to do this by themselves at some point without receiving a reward. The reward is that you get it done and you don't get in trouble, you know, at that point.
Okay.
Or you shift to to a different type of reward. And I've seen, and I'm sure you guys have too, I mean, all kinds of rewards, you know, tokens, stickers, you know, $10 bills, I mean, ridiculous stuff. You know, so somewhere in the middle or whatever works for you, for your family, that your child can appreciate and buy into, I think is where you go. But again, I mean, we're raising our kids to be adults, not tall kids. And so when we put together these systems and structures, it's always good to remind them that we're doing this to train them to be able to do it themselves, right? And they need the reward now, because if we shift our expectations to where they are developmentally, that's, you know, a child of that age needs that reward. So if my 12-year-old functions really more like an 8 or 9-year-old, and my 8 or 9-year-old doesn't do anything without some kind of reward. And some of those are, you know, simple things like, you know, a hug or things that you don't have to do to get rewards for, if that makes sense. But you have to determine between you and your child and the rest of the family what's going to work and what's not going to work. Does that kind of answer your question or give you some ideas?
That's really helpful about the buy-ins. I don't think we've done enough of that, so that's really helpful.
Okay, yeah. Good. Glad. I'm glad.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
And then in terms of manipulation, and I hear this a lot, particularly with our teenagers, you know, it's hard to tell. It's like, is it really the developmental delay, or are they just messing with me? and I get it, because, you know, you're like, I don't want to be manipulated. But Diane told me this once, and she said, well, how is it helping you to tell you that they're, you know, how is it helping for you to tell yourself that you're being manipulated? You know, how is that making the situation better? I'm like, well, I guess it's really not. It's just making me mad. So she said, well, what if it just didn't bug you? You know, what if we just all assume that we're moving forward, they're not manipulating us, and that everybody wants the best? And for us, that made a big difference. You know, and just to remind ourselves what the realistic expectation is for our kids if we do the age adjustment. And then what's the motivation for them to do it? Because remember, it's for the most part, it's not that they won't do it. It's that they can't do it by themselves just yet, with rare, rare exception.
I'd counter that, you know, unfortunately.
Counter away. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, something like walking the dog or emptying the dishwasher for my 15 or 13-year-old, 12-year-old, whatever she is, acts like she's 17 from birth. They are more than capable of that. And, you know, so at some point, the only, you know, if they expect a reward or they roll their, you know, the only consequence is a negative consequence. And, you know, at this point, the only thing we see, you know, the only feedback we'd get from the school is if he was late or he didn't turn something in. You don't get positive feedback, and he doesn't tell us anything. So to set him up potentially, or have the only consequence be a negative one when there are so few opportunities for a positive one, it, you know, makes it even harder.
Sure. So, I mean, in terms of, let's back up a second. So with your daughter and the dishwasher, remember that our kids have no internal mechanism to remind them to do things. So, yes, she can do it, but maybe she needs to be reminded. Or maybe she still needs a body double, someone to stand there while she does it. But she does it, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, it can get ugly, and then there's three other kids around, and then they learn that. Or, you know, they put everything off to the last minute, and they know that I'm not going to keep them from getting to school or getting the right amount of sleep, so they play that.
Mm-hmm.
And then this, you know, buy-in is massive. I'm sorry. You know, I know I must sound like the devil's advocate, but
no, believe me.
I feel like I'm on a PDSA cycle, and it works fabulous with my employees, but not so well with my children. you know, they have to have buy-in. Well, you know, they don't want. I obviously haven't used the word ADHD with the little guys, but you know, the big guys from probably, you know, 9 have. We've been trying to, you know, talk about these things. They, especially my son, literally runs out of the room or goes, you know, blah, 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 blah. He doesn't want to hear it. He knows everything. He knows what he doesn't know. He's fine, thank you. And therefore, you know, any suggestion for a system,
you know, I literally this morning wrote him an email reminding him to tell the teachers that he has a, you know, assistive technology meeting, and he needs to tell the teachers that so he doesn't get a tardy. And then I put in parentheses, or, you know, you can just not talk to the teachers, and when they call you on it, tell them that you don't care about them and it really doesn't matter. Like, I might as well tell them to go use cocaine and get pregnant at this point. They might listen to that more. Sorry, that's a little negative. But
I don't
understand. They, you know, and they're great kids. I don't want, I mean, they're wonderful, good-hearted, I could hug the living shit out of them if they'd let me kids. But they shoot themselves in the foot, and they don't want to hear what their parents have to say, or their teachers, or their coaches, or their, you know, anything else. They know everything.
So why are you on this call?
Oh, because I'm desperate for figuring out how to, you know, make that easy and how to not scream. You know, ways. I can't beat them up and say, listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to alienate them by talking. You know, as a previous caller said, we, you know, I have an 8:15 meeting with my son every night. I bring up nothing. You know, I don't want to alienate him by asking him about school or anything that might make him uncomfortable. He's not a kid to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it turns into lovely, awkward silence because he doesn't want to hear what I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And there we go.
So what's the change that you want to see?
I'd love to see some buy-in so that they even want to create systems.
Buy-in on what? Buy-in on, let's pick one kid.
Buy-in that they can't get it all done even though they think they can. You name it.
Buy-in on they can't do something?
Well, you know, for example, my kids only have to clean their room by 7:30 Friday morning. I reminded my daughter every day this week. I reminded her what her other schedule is, what she has around. I reminded her when she got home. I reminded her 10 minutes before bedtime. You know, I got it. Not done.
Okay. And so in addition to reminding, or I guess walk me through this because I don't want to assume anything. I don't know how it works in your house. But when you're, you know, you tell her she needs to clean a room, is she, what's a realistic expectation for her? To go upstairs or and do it all herself? Or do you need to be there standing with her?
No, she has, you know, and we've talked about this before. How are you going to get it done looking at the week? And she knows that she doesn't, you know, pick out 6 outfits and throw them, you know, everywhere in the room. If she picks up as she goes, it's doable by Friday morning. She has about, you know, extra help Thursday evenings who is always there to help her, you know, clean and organize her room. But she's got, we write schedules. She writes down a to-do list. We have timers. I mean, I'm not saying we've tried it all. I know we haven't. I'm sure there's something better. You know,
remind me how old she is again.
She's 12,
okay. And so when the helper is standing there helping her clean a room, she just ignores them or what happens?
She ignores them or has the helper do it 100%.
Okay. And in terms of your priorities, of, you know, what's the most important thing for you to focus on or for her to focus on right now with respect to putting a system or a structure in place? Is cleaning a room the top of the list?
No, but it's a concrete example that's in there. You know, it's getting to bed on time. It's getting your homework done efficiently. You know, there's bazillions of things, but this is very measurable. It's something I can evaluate. We have objectively said what clean is. We have pictures of what clean is on the wall. She, you know, can look at that.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, versus me saying, done what you needed to do on your essay. Like, I don't know. You know, that's subjective.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of choosing between the two of those, I mean, that's why we try to take aim on one thing at a time and get really specific about what it is we want to focus on. And a lot of that has to do with us as parents and what we decide are the most important things.
And this is Paula.
Hey.
Hey, can I just add that with her daughter being 12 years old, it might be a really great idea to help or have her help prioritize, you know, instead of the mother saying, well, I think, you know, the clean room is more important than whatever. But let the child, when you said help her to just do one thing at a time, I thought, you know, that would be good because at 12, she's really starting to want to have that independence and autonomy. So that's an idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So I appreciate that. We've definitely, she'll do that and she'll say it and she'll come up with it. And then, you know, I just feel like I keep setting them up for their own failures. And then they're defensive on themselves, so they can't talk about it with me because they can't admit that they didn't or won't or can't or got distracted or don't care. You know, in her, she's motivated to get good grades. You know, she has teachers who have high expectations for her. And, you know, that's almost its own thing that I don't have to worry about. It's just how much time, you know, she takes to do that. I can't say you must, you know, do this essay within 45 minutes because maybe it does take her an hour and a half. But then it shouldn't. So I don't go there. And, you know, the room is an example of just an objective, you've known, you know, you knew on Thursday, on Wednesday, on Tuesday, on Monday. I suggested since you don't have an activity on Wednesday and you do on Thursday that you do it on Wednesday.
So we know it doesn't work, right?
Right.
We know it doesn't work. So now we need to figure out what does work, right? And I can tell, I mean, there's a lot going on there. I can, you know, I hear just anger and frustration and all kinds of things going on with you. And I hate that that's happening. And so, I mean, what I would suggest at this point is, and this is for anybody who needs, you know, maybe just a little extra one-on-one time or a little extra support. We have sanity sessions. They're free 30-minute one-on-one coaching sessions with either myself, Diane, or Elaine. And if there's something that we can't hash out over the course of an hour, or during a PSS call, please let's schedule an appointment with one of us so we can, you know, really talk through it and make sure you're getting what you need to get out of these calls. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, we're relatively new and we've met with Elaine, I'm going to say, four times. But, you know, kind of big picture of trying to understand the expectations and being on that roller coaster of I get it, I don't. You listen to a webinar, it can tell you more.
Totally. Yeah. We can definitely help. There's a lot there. You guys have a lot going on. There's a lot of kids, you know, lots of challenges, just like in all of our houses. So we're coming up on the top of the hour already. My gosh. So what I would like to do, just to make sure everyone gets a chance to kind of check in and check out and share any questions or anything that they have, let's start going around and looking at those four questions that we do at the end of each chapter. And if you want to say what you're planning on taking aim on for the next couple of weeks as you check out, that's great. But we also want to know, you know, what are you focusing on or what did you pay most attention to today? What's your clarity or your takeaway, your aha moment from today? What's a realistic action step for you to take? And then how can we set you or help you set yourself up for success with that action step? So if you want to take a minute or two or a few seconds and think about your answers to those questions and then just chime in when you're ready to kind of check out.
Do you think you could just talk a little bit more about systems and structures?
Sure. What do you want to know about?
I don't know. I just kind of feel like I don't have the handbook in front of me. I didn't get to look at it today. And so I just was thinking, you know, maybe taking aim on something related to that. But I just don't feel like we've really talked about systems and structures that much except for, like, getting buy-in. And having husbands first, the parenting positively and expectations. So just real quick.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the thing about systems and structures is that, you know, there's millions of them. And rather than discuss, you know, specific behavior charts or really specific systems and structures, which we can do that, but you can find all kinds of apps and mnemonics and binders and calendars and checklists and charts and you know, all that stuff on the web or on our website or from other places. And so when we're talking about it, I think the thing that we forget is that whatever system or structure we choose, it has to be something that is going to help our kids get engaged, right? And that they're going to have buy-in to, right? That's easy for us to do so we can be consistent, because it's hard. You know, your schedule changes, you know, one parent's gone, or you're the only parent there or whatever. And it's hard to be consistent. So you want to make it something easy that you're not going to forget, and that you don't need to have, you know, a lot of equipment or papers or whatever with you in order to enforce. And then, you know, keeping it simple and keeping it flexible and remembering that progress is progress. Even if it's not the amount of progress that you wanted initially, you know, it's better than it was. So, like, I mean, for example, for my 12-year-old, he has a reading report that he has to do every night. This year, I mean, we have worked up to being able to do the reading report completely by himself and print it. The challenge now is getting it off the printer and putting it in his red folder. and it sounds terrible, but we've been working on it for, you know, a couple months now. and it's just taken that long to get him to do it. And then he doesn't even really have a reward in place for that one. If he gets it done, then it's done. And then he can get to his electronics. So, but he forgets still. And it's just something that we have to remind him every day. Because for so long, you know, the end of that process was I printed the report. And until his brain shifts to, I printed the report, I pick it up off the printer, I take it upstairs and put it in the folder, we have to keep reminding him to do it.
If that kept happening to me, I would ask him and the teacher if I could email it in.
Yeah, we did that. We did that last year, and they asked
to make sure that was, you know, undermining, but that's where I would, you know, when it just kept not happening, that's where I would go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we did. We did that too. And so that's what I mean by I can tell you systems and structures, but it's not going to necessarily work for you or not work for your kid or, you know what I mean? So there's only so many things we can do with respect to recommending specific ones, because at the end of the day, it's going to be the one that works for you. And only you know what's going to work best for your kid, and only your kid knows what's going to work best for them with your help. So, I know that doesn't necessarily give you a lot more information to support systems and structures, but I hope that helps. And again, just remember that our kids need certain things to help them get stuff done, especially stuff they don't want to do. And that's novelty, competition, a sense of urgency, something that's funny and fun. You know, we've talked about one parent tickles her son in the morning to get him out of bed, and it works, but every morning she goes in there and tickles him. Some people, you know, make a game out of it. You know, it just depends on whatever's going to work. In the games, I found that over time you have to change the game because they get bored. Or you have to change the reward. And that's why we put it last, because we have to figure out so many other things before we get to that part. Because if we jump to the end, then it's going to fail. And we have to remember that 3 to 5 year developmental delay and imply that shift in expectations. Otherwise, we're just going to set ourselves up for failure and be frustrated, which isn't fun either.
Were we supposed to be answering the wrap up?
Yeah, you can if you want to. You can either write it down or you can share it with us. If you want to just share one of your answers, that'd be great in terms of just checking out for the day.
Well, with this being my first session, I just want to say I've really enjoyed it. And it's been great to connect and feel, you know, not alone out here. But one thing I just wanted to say that I really got from it was, you know, the joining, like the dishwasher situation. I mean, it might take Anna 30 minutes to an hour to unload the dishwasher. She's 14. Mm-hmm. I don't really care. You know, she's in there for something else that she likes to do, but she gets it unloaded. The other thing I was going to tell you when I was thinking about the clean room, it's just that whole fish to fry, which ones are the biggest ones. And I just feel like it is good. It's helped us a lot with Anna to, you know, like, for instance, hanging up your clothes. If you hang up your clothes wrong side out, does that really matter at the end of the day? No. But some people, some parents, you know, they're putting so much energy in that, where the energy might be better to go somewhere else. But it's whatever you need to do at your house.
Right.
You know what I mean? If
right.
that hanging up
yeah.
your clothes in the right way is important to you, then do that. What I'm
mm-hmm.
saying is, which fish are the biggest to fry?
Right, right. But that's a good point.
Yeah, I absolutely. Thank you. I'd be thrilled if she didn't take her good dress, ball it up in a circle, and shove it between her mattress and the wall, and tell herself that that's fine. But that
yeah.
said, what I got from you is maybe instead of saying clean your room, I really need to say, you know, just keep all the clothes in the right place. There's 50,000
yeah.
candy wraps and books. I'll look the other way. The
yeah.
mice might. But I will.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And I know people who, you know, I have a 17-year-old and I shut his door. You know, there's a certain level of filth that I can withstand, but for the most part, if I close the door, I don't see it, and I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on, like you said, if you have a value, a strong value around cleanliness and orderliness, or just order, you know, and it's in conflict with whatever the situation is in your child's room, then you have to follow through on that value. Otherwise, you're going to mm. be miserable. But then we also have to take into consideration where our kids are and what they can do, too. And it's tough. It's tough. Thank you for that, Paula. Who else wants to check out? I know it's right at noon Central Time. So if you guys need to go, feel free to just hang up if you want. Or if you want to chime in real quick and check out, that would be great. I don't want to keep you late if you've got someplace you need to be. But I'll hang on as long as I need to.
Can you tell us if there's a specific, you know, URL or something we should look for ideas of systems and charts and what have you?
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's a million. You could go to Attitude Magazine. Like I said, our website has a ton.
But you know, I've literally Pinterested it, and then, you know, there's the teacher stuff and this and that. So, yeah, if you guys are somewhere have a more concise what has worked thing, I'd love it.
If you go to our website and just type systems and structures into the search engine there, it'll bring up a bunch of different articles.
Okay, great.
But a manageable number, I hope.
I want to say, can I say my aha moment was that we have, it seems like there's a lot of unstructured time, or rather unexpectedly times when people aren't doing anything, which and that I'm not directing anymore, which is
mm-hmm.
why they can be really goofy or be really bored.
Mm-hmm.
And before, it was pretty easy to entertain them with, you know, Legos and books and whatever. And I don't know if it's as entertaining now, but I guess, you know, I want to reward that they are interacting with family members. I want to appreciate that they're sort of not hiding. What I want to do is find something that's always there, like the proverbial puzzle to work on, you know, as a family or some sort of activity that people can do. But I'm wondering if people have ideas, or if you have ideas on something that's, you know, available or reasonable or that makes sense. Is that
for family events?
For like, yeah, I mean, not that we're always going to be going to the mall or the movies or whatever, but if people just happen to be hanging out together that you can do. So that there's good interaction and it's not just, you know, watching TV or harassing each other for fun.
I'll post some links in the Facebook forum, the Lifeline group. And if you guys find some things too, post them there.
Okay. I will try to join that or figure out how to follow.
Well, you should be in it already. Are you not? It's the ADHD or Impact ADHD Parent Lifeline Facebook group. It's a secret group. And so when you join PSS, you should have gotten an invitation to join that one. And if you haven't gotten it, let me know and I will hunt it down and
okay.
make sure you get it again.
I just don't ever get on Facebook. I find that
it's
a rabbit trail. It's not good for me. So
I hear you.
So much time there.
Maybe I shouldn't give you a link then.
But
I'll find a PDF
for you.
How about that?
Please,
I can email you a PDF. Yeah, no problem.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Sure. Okay. A couple more minutes. Anybody want to do an official type checkout or just to say what an aha was or something you're going to focus on for the next couple weeks? Nobody? Okay.
That's funny.
I feel like I didn't do a good job then. Okay.
No, you must. I mean,
circle back.
I think I already did. Did I?
You did. Yeah. Thanks, Paula.
Okay.
So the goal is systems and structures, and figure out what you want to take aim on, what's important to you, and what's going to work for your family. That's the.
That's it.
Is anyone still on the call? Else?
Yeah, there's like a few people left.
Hello.
I do need to take some action steps. So my 14-year-old has given her a lot of independence on, figuring out her own way of getting her homework done. But then we've seen some poor grades in the last couple of weeks. So I'm needing to have some sort of structure again. And she knows. You know, going into that we wanted her to do it on her own, and that was going to happen as long as her grades stayed where they were. But so I guess I'm needing some sort of, way to structure that starting Monday.
Okay.
But taking it back, I don't want to take it back from her. You know, I want her to start, us not having to intervene or look at parent portal every day.
Right.
Any ideas?
Nope.
Okay, well, I'll just figure one out. I'll get that other lady and be looking at the millions
take the knowledge that you have. I mean, you know what a good system or structure looks like, and you know what's worked for you in the past. And so I'd say, go back to what has worked, figure out why it's not working, if it's on her side or your side, and then, see if you can kind of reinvent it to a situation or a point that is going to work best for this particular situation.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for a wonderful call. If you have questions or you need some more clarification around this, please do either just shoot me an email or schedule a quick sanity session and let's talk through it, because I don't want anybody to be wondering or be frustrated with the process, because we're here to help and we want to make sure you're getting the help that you need. So don't hesitate to call, text, email, whatever works. Otherwise, we will talk in a couple weeks. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
For being here.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
The moderator has left.